Our text this morning will be found in Psalm 122. Psalm 122 is a very great psalm of David, and it speaks of the joy that we should have when we enter into the presence of the Lord. And so David writes in the psalm, he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, may they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Let us pray. Our great God and Savior, we come before you this evening, Father. Lord, and I just pray for the proclamation of your word. I pray that your word go forth. I pray, Father, that it strengthen the hearts of your people. Lord, may we see the rich truths from this text, Father, the three things that we will see, which is joy for your house, unity for your house, and that we should pray for your house, Father. Lord, may these truths, Lord, seek richly into our hearts, Father, that we should have joy, Father, when we come into your house, Lord, for you have redeemed us. Father, you have given us the day of rest, Father, and so we should come into your house joyfully, Father. We should also seek for its unity as well, Father, the unity of the saints, Father. And Lord, we should also pray for that unity as well, Father. Lord, help us to see these truths this evening, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. And so when we think of joy, joy is something all of us love to experience. When we were kids, I'm sure many of us can remember joy such as Christmas season approaching. A lot of times around Christmas, everybody gets joyful. Everybody gets in the holiday spirit. They start seeing Christmas lights. They start seeing all kind of decorations. And it just seeps up joy into your hearts and everything. You start hearing songs on the radio, and all of this would lead us to start counting down the days, especially whenever we were kids, and we would start seeing presents start being under the tree, and we would start wondering, what am I going to get this year? What am I going to get the thing that I asked for? And so there would be very joyfulness in our spirits because we would be joyful of the holiday season. We would start gathering around with families, and if you were like my family loved to do videos, and back in the VHS days, we would record the stuff, and we even have VHSs of whenever I was little, whenever I was 5 years old, and we would have all of the recordings and just the joy that you could see as you even look back whenever you rip into the presence, and all of this would be joyful and anticipation. And whatever day your family celebrated Christmas, whether it be Christmas Eve, which would be our tradition when we would go to my grandparents' house and we would gather with the family and everybody would be there and there would just be a very joyful evening. And so all of that is good and precious, and we should cherish those moments because they're memories that each of us have with our families. It's a very joyful time. And we should cherish those moments. But as we think about those special moments and how special it is to be with the family, to be with loved ones and joy that we have during holiday seasons, I ask you, how much more joy should there be those of us who are Christians when we think about coming into the house of the Lord? As special as those moments are around Christmas and holiday season, and we cherish those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we should be all the more exuberant to come into his house, to lift high his praises, to sing his praises, to sing to the one who has redeemed us and given us new life. This should be our greater joy as we come to commune with our Lord. And so I say all of this, brothers and sisters, that those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ and transferred from darkness into his marvelous light, then we should long all the more each week to gather with the saints in the house of the Lord. We should delight to be in his presence. with our fellow brothers and sisters, for that Christ has now redeemed us, we should love His church. And so in our text this morning, we will see how David, who is the author of this psalm, expressed his joy to come into the house of the Lord, which during David's day would have been around the holy city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be the central place of worship during that time, with major festivals such as the Passover and the Feast of Weeks and the Tabernacle, and they would all be a celebration for all that the Lord has done for them. And so when it was time for them to go up into this place of Jerusalem, David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." David expressed that true joy for going into the Lord's presence. And so as I say all that, there are three things that I really want us to see from this text this morning or this evening. I want us to see that we should have joy for the church, that there should be unity for the church, and that we should also pray for the church. And so as we now turn our attention to our text, let us first consider this idea of joy that we should have for the church. We see in verse 1 where David clearly expresses this. He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." And so right away you see that joy that David says. He says, "Let us go." And so David is saying, he's inviting the people to go on this journey, to go to the Lord's house, to gather in the city of Jerusalem, and to worship in the very presence of the Lord. He was glad when the time came. He said, "Let us go to worship." He rejoiced at the opportunity to go into the presence of the Lord, to give thanks for all that God had done, for all that the Lord had done for them, to lift high their praises to God. And so as we see David express this joy here, to come into the Lord's house, I say, how much more should we also express joy to come into His house? I would say we should all the more express joy to come into His house, for unlike David's day, where they had to go to a specific place, to a specific temple in Jerusalem, that has now changed in the New Covenant era. Because with the coming of Christ, instead of there being a physical temple in Jerusalem, we see Jesus express with His coming in John chapter 2 that He is the true temple. And He said, by that being the case in John chapter 4, He expressed that the day was coming when neither they will say on this mountain, that would be Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. And so Jesus spoke of this freedom of now worship being everywhere with His coming. There was going to be no one central location. For He is the true temple that has now come, and by extension, we as His church are the temple, as Peter speaks of in 1 Peter 2. He speaks of us being now the living stones that are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So now we, by extension, are that temple that everywhere around the world God's people gather to lift up their praises unto the Lord. And so living on this side of the cross, we now have freedom to gather each Lord's Day for corporate worship with our fellow brothers and sisters to offer thankfulness to all that has been given us in Christ. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who were once dead in our trespasses and sins, but now He has called us into His marvelous light. And so given this found freedom that we have in Christ, who has redeemed us and raised us from spiritual death unto life, how much more should we rejoice to go and worship in His house for all that He has given us in our Savior? Given this, we should have all the more gratitude for the inheritance that lies before us, to lift our praises to our King in anticipation for what will one day be the eternal rest that we will one day all enjoy in the new heavens and new earth. And so with that, we can say in verse 2 of our text that we are standing within the gates of Jerusalem. We are safe and secure within the gates of the church. As really Charles Spurgeon lays it out, he says, "If we are within the church, we may well triumph, in fact. While our feet are standing in Jerusalem, our lips may well be singing. Outside the gates, all is danger, and one day will all be destruction. But within the gates, all is safety, seclusion, serenity, salvation, and glory to be within the framework of the church, which is the New Jerusalem, who are, as I said, we are living stones being built up. We, as the church, we are safe in the arms of Christ. And so we are safe within the gates, for Christ has paid our sins, and so we are placed securely within the gates of that heavenly Jerusalem that we see spoken of in Revelation 21, that comes down from above, the new heavens and new earth, that all await us one day. And so until that blessed time, we with in eager anticipation come joyfully into His house, which is a day of rest that God has given us in anticipation for that eternal rest that one day awaits us all. And so I say, brothers and sisters, we should come joyfully into His house. For Christ has redeemed us, and all of us who are putting our trust in Christ alone have been set free from that bondage of sin, and so may we come into His house with great joy. And so given all the inheritance we have and the joy that we should express when we come into the Lord's house, there is another aspect that we should also concern us as well, and that is unity. As we should have joy for the church, we should also seek for the unity of the church. For we are the bride of Christ, and as a spouse seeks unity within the marriage, we as the church, as the bride of Christ, should seek unity as well with our brothers and sisters. Notice this in verses 3 to 4, as David speaks of Jerusalem being built up as a city, bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. And we know the city of Jerusalem itself, of course, would be built firmly with all of its stones and bound perfectly together. But this also is speaking more richly than just the structure of the building being bound perfectly together. For it speaks of the tribes going up together in unity. For it speaks of them going as it was decreed for them to offer sacrifices unto the Lord in the annual feast of Passover, in which they would give thanks to all that the Lord has done for them. And so as the tribes would go up to the city, we see that their minds were set, as verse 4 states, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. They were going up in unity to give thanks. They were unified together. John Calvin says it so well in this passage. He says that it was great importance for the minds of the godly, instead of being drawn hither and thither, to be kept constantly fixed upon that city, which was the bond of holy unity. And so unity should be of great importance to us as well as we seek unity with our brothers and sisters. And we see Paul express this very well in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we see he speaks of the body of Christ, and he speaks more of us as the body, as many members being joined together. Their arm will not say to its eye, I have no need of you. As each of our physical body parts are needed, so it is with the body of Christ. Each member needs one another. The eye will not say to the hand, I have no need of you. Every person works in unity together, and we should seek for that unity within the church. To give an example of this, whenever I was in high school, I played football. And one thing you know, whenever you play football, you play as a team. It's not a one-person game. If it was one man all by himself, you're going to lose. But the teams seek to work together in unity. Take the offense and the defense. Each work together in unity. One player couldn't do it all. Take the offensive lineman, for example. The offensive lineman, their job was to protect the quarterback. If he did not protect the quarterback would be sacked. So each player seeked to do his duty in unity to seek for victory. And so as sports teams would seek to work together for unity for the sake of victory, how much more should we as the church strive together for unity in the body of Christ to seek for the victory? As Christ has purchased for himself people from every tongue and tribe and nation, as it says in Revelation 5. And so we should be eager, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, to maintain unity in the spirit of the bond of peace. And so as those in David's day set their minds on the heavenly city of Jerusalem, we should set our minds upon that heavenly city that awaits us, the new Jerusalem. And we should, as Paul says very well in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in our hearts richly, to which indeed we were called into a holy body, and to be thankful, and to let the word of Christ dwell in us, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That should be our goal as brothers and sisters, to seek for that unity, to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, to seek for the peace of the church. This should be our desire as the people of God who have been redeemed and brought into the family of God, because they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I say, as we should have joy to come into His house to worship, we should also seek for the unity with our fellow brothers and sisters. For this is very central. And so as we also seek for unity, we seek for joy, these are very central. We also see a third aspect in our text that we should seek, and that is the peace of the church. We should pray for the church's peace. As we notice this in verses 6 to 9 of our text, we see verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who loves you. Thinking of this idea of peace, many of you I know have probably heard of the term shalom, the Hebrew term shalom, which means peace. It means wholeness and health. And so David is praying for Jerusalem for its wholeness, its health, its prosperity. And whenever we think of wholeness and health and prosperity, this is not the idea of the health and wealth, prosperity, gospel nonsense out there. This is thinking much more. When we think of prosperity here, it's not really the health and wealth, but the blessings that God gives us. In this life, we do seek for spiritual blessings, of course, but here it goes much deeper than materialistic blessings. It is the inner peace that we have as beloved children of God. We pray for the peace that we share with one another as the people of God. It is a prayer for us to enjoy fellowship and that inner peace that we have being the children of God. And so this should be our desire for the unity, the peace of the church. We should pray constantly for the peace and for one another and for continual growth of the church. We should long to see the church continue to grow in this life until the Lord returns. And so as we've been given all of this in Christ, we should extend this love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. As the psalmist pleads for in verse 8, he pleads for this. He says, for the peace, for the sake of his brothers and companions. The psalmist sees the importance of the relationship to have with the brothers and sisters as we have now been placed into a new community with our church family, the community of the saints. And so as we are to seek for peace within the community, this should be our great desire as we've been called out of the darkness, set into his marvelous light, given a new name in Christ now who dwells within us, and have been placed into the family of God. We have been adopted into the family of God. And so now that we have come into this new family, we should long all the more to worship together with our brothers and sisters and to give thanks to the one who has saved us. And so as we begin to make our way to a close, let this be an encouragement to you, each of you, that we should have this joy. Joy should be what defines us. As I said earlier, there are things in this life that bring us joy. And when we think of upon those moments each holiday season, we think of those times that we gather with our family and holiday spirit that we have, or joy that we even have going on a vacation. But those of us who have been grafted into the family of God should stir us to ultimate joy. It should give us great joy. We should delight in communing with our blessed Lord and the fellow brothers and sisters. Each Lord's Day is an invitation unto us to have a day of rest from all of our labors, to come and worship in the house of the Lord, to set aside all the cares of this world that weigh us down, and to set our minds and hearts upon the Lord and upon Him who redeemed us, to be an anticipation for that eternal rest that we will one day enjoy. And this should be how we start, because we all have battles. We battle, there's battles at work, there's battles at school, there's personal battles with sin. Each of these things become a daily grind. They become our daily battles, the three battles against the world, the flesh, and the devil that seek to weigh us down. And so throughout the week, we constantly are being weighed down by many stresses in this world. And so when Sunday comes around, you get the joy of beginning the week with a day of rest in the house of the Lord, to be refreshed, to be strengthened, to be reminded of all that we have in Christ and all that awaits us one day in that eternal rest. This is to be a refreshing to us. And it's a reminder of that day that will come when there will be no more sickness, there will be no more sin, there will be no more sorrow, for all will have been made new, and we will enjoy the Lord forever. We get to be reminded of these things each Lord's Day, of the promises that can be easily forgotten throughout the week. We get to be refreshed in the house of the Lord. And so we're invited to come and to draw strength upon His Word, to draw strength upon our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to commune together as the family of God. And so, as we do come to a close, I just want to close with this quote from the great Puritan Matthew Henry. He says, "Let us consider all who seek the glory of the Redeemer as our brethren and fellow travelers, without regarding differences which do not affect our eternal welfare. Blessed Spirit of love and peace, who didst dwell in the soul of the Holy Jesus, descend into His church, fill those who compose it with His heavenly tempers, cause bitter contentions to cease, and to make us of one mind." And so that should be our joy as we come into gathering each Lord's Day in the saints, with the saints in the house of the Lord. All differences are set aside, and we should come focused on the One who redeemed us, with worship and thanksgiving being to Him. Let us pray. Our great God and Savior, Lord, as we come before You, Lord, we see rich truths in this Word. We see the joy that we should be expressed that we come into Your house each Lord's Day. We see the unity that should be experienced amongst our fellow brethren, and we see the peace that we should be praying for Your church, Father. Lord, help us to take these truths deeply into our hearts, Father. In Your name we pray. Amen.